As we're gathered here, we're going to hear about the Lord's Prayer today. We're going to hear from Luke. We're also going to hear about Abram's prayer for Sodom and Gomorrah that he might save. And we also then know how we are to go to the Lord in prayer. The hymn of the day we will divide into two parts. One's at the beginning, one's at the sermon. It is Luther's hymn of the Ten Commandments. Of the Lord's Prayer. There we go. See, I got the right thing. Of the Lord's Prayer. Each of the petitions is spelled out in one of the verses. So it may be unfamiliar to you. Whatever the case, pay attention to the words and sing it as best the Lord has given you voice.
Deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins,
Let us then confess our sins unto God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me.
With my whole heart I cry, answer me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. I call to you, save me, that I may observe your testimonies. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I hope in your words. My eyes are awake before the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promise. Hear my voice according to your steadfast love. O Lord, according to your justice, give me life. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, it is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, let your merciful ears be attentive to the prayers of your servants, and by your word and spirit teach us how to pray, that our petitions may be pleasing before you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading from Genesis chapter 18. Then the Lord said, "Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great and their sin is very grave, I will go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know." So the man turned from there and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood still before the Lord. Then Abraham drew near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous people in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered and said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." And again he spoke to him and said, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "O Lord, let not you be angry with me, and I will speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will do it. I will not do it if I find 30 there." He said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak again, but this once. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." And the Lord went his way when he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news.
Who publish peace and bring good news of salvation. Their voice is gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world.
The epistles from Colossians chapter 2. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of the deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that is from God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia.
I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and it will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. And he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are in bed with me. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up to give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the Gospel of the Lord. Thank you. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not surprising that prayer is very much the life, to be a part of the life of a Christian. It is to be inculcated with prayer. In many ways, prayer is something that everyone knows about. It's something we're familiar with. Yet, if you're anything like me, it's often neglected in the lives of Christian people. We have our prayers before meals or family devotions, and of course, in church here. But then something big comes along in our life, and then we're more likely to pray. A big decision about a job change, an illness, or accident to ourselves or to one for whom we love. Person whom we care for going through difficulties in life. Oh, in many of these things, we often go to the Lord in prayer, pleading for His mercy and help that we might be delivered from the trouble. But often after that particular situation is resolved, we go back to the habit, albeit a good habit, of praying at meals, family devotions, and in church. I suggest that prayer is actually something we all too often take for granted. Who of us has not fretted about this and that, and then after we are all worked up, we pray? Only after we're all worked up. Who can even fantasize that he or she can keep that direction of God to say when He says, pray without ceasing? So it is well that we put in our mouths the questions of the disciples to Jesus. Lord, teach us to pray. And to sit here and listen to the instruction of Jesus delivered to our ears and to our hearts this day. It doesn't sound odd to us in many ways. Jesus, as He often did, was praying. We sometimes pass over this as a sort of pious thing to do, and indeed, again, a good habit. For Jesus, after all, is God. He is one with the Father. But we there see that Jesus takes comfort and strength in prayer. Though He did set a perfect example in all His ways, Jesus praying is not just for show, to say, oh, here's what you should do too. For it was the way He communicated with the Heavenly Father. Here, as He was incarnate, the Son of Man, there in communication with Him in His humiliation, not always and fully using the powers He had as God, there as He grew, as He walked and as He talked. His disciples had witnessed this praying many times, and one asks that the Lord Jesus teach them to pray. Jesus instructed them in what we know as the Lord's Prayer. You note that here in Luke it is a bit abbreviated from the full seven petitions, introduction, and conclusion that is in Matthew. But we here have those words that are spoken to us, a word of instruction. They are spoken to the Heavenly Father. All of them are pertaining to spiritual blessings, but spiritual blessings related to the everyday world in which we live. I should say all but one of them, for there is only one petition that asks most directly for the physical needs when it asks for daily bread. Luther's explanation to the various petitions, introduction, and conclusion are most instructive, as you might recall from your confirmation memory. I need some volunteers who will go say it now. Come on. But the Lord's Prayer is not for rote recitation. We would do well to take into our hearts and minds again, to review and even memorize these meanings. The meanings that it is not just a word to speak time and time again with emptiness, but in faith. We also have in our Old Testament reading that prayer of Abraham for the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Indeed, it is a prayer. I don't know if you're like me, but I'm kind of thinking he would have got the point already, right? 50, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10. I think that was all of them. Time and time again, he asks and asks and asks. Do you remember what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? It was destroyed by fire. There were not 10 people in the city. Abraham there had asked for the deliverance and called on the Lord with persistence and in faith, almost sort of calling him on the carpet. But here we have that picture. It was only after Abraham recognized that God would do what he would do that he then went his way. And God did what he did. Indeed, that is that way that we should be persistent before the Lord, persistent in prayer. Jesus goes on with that story of the man who gets company and goes to his friend and asks for food so that he might serve them and be hospitable. I suppose that sounds a little bit odd to us. We, of course, would go to the 24-hour store down at the corner. But indeed, obviously, it wasn't that way. He there goes and asks that he might serve unexpected guests. And it says that though he wouldn't get up because he was his friend, he would listen to him and give him something because of his impudence. Impudent. I had to look it up. It sounds like a word we might know. Impudent. To be impudent is not showing due respect for another person and in their position. They're sort of badgering and kind of they're overstepping the bounds of what you would do. I suggest that's very much what Abraham was doing to the Lord God there. Indeed, he was showing disrespect. Even while he asked, he continued to ask. And indeed, that is what we are to do. It points to the point of being persistent. Persistent even to the point of being annoying with what we desire. Indeed, that is what we know God wants us to do. Sometimes we think, well, God knows everything, right? He knows why things are, what's happening with me. So why bother asking him for these things. But this is exactly the point that Jesus is here making, the point that Jesus is instructing us to do. We're to go to God, pleading for him, not the basis of me, myself, and I, but because, as Abraham did, of his righteousness and of his goodness. You're almost to badger God when you are to ask him, there, coming before him time and time again, hearing those answers and knowing those answers, whatever they may be, but then trusting his promise that he will never leave you or forsake you, that he hears your prayers, but he also only gives you what's good for you. Jesus then makes the point that is a familiar one to many of us. So I say, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. In many ways it sounds very simple. Ask, keep asking, you're going to get what you ask for. Well, this is exactly what the promise of Jesus is that he makes. But it's even better than that. He will never give you anything that is to your harm. Anything that there will not lead you in the way of everlasting life. Rather, he gives us what we desire as we desire and ask in faith. We ask and he gives to us those things that are good for us. He goes on to say about that parent, that man, and the child who asked their parent for something. They ask for some bread, are you going to give them a stone? If they ask for a fish, are you going to give them a serpent? If you ask for an egg, are you going to give them a scorpion? Well, even a bad parent wouldn't do those kinds of things that would do them harm. And Jesus says, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Indeed, this points to the spiritual blessings that the Lord asks. For in a in a concrete way, it would seem that he should say, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good gifts to you who ask him? Well, indeed it is that, but it is the Holy Spirit that he gives, that we might live and walk in our daily life here each and every day, carrying out the will of the Lord in our lives. Indeed, as we continue to pray to the Lord, it's not that you don't get what you want, but oftentimes as we pray, that we pray that we will change, our prayer is changed when we recognize that he has your best interests in mind. What you want changes as you recognize those things, as you trust in his word of promise. Oh, the things we desire might be good, but they are only for a time. Here in this world, yes, even healing and health, but that which he gives from the Holy Spirit and from God the Father is the faith that trusts in him that goes on to eternal life. In the closing of the Lord's Prayer, we do hear the conclusion of the words of Luther. What does Amen mean? It means that I should be certain that these petitions are pleasing to our Father in heaven and are heard by him. For he has commanded us so to pray, and in this way he has promised to hear us. So we pray with confidence, with hope, and with boldness, with impudence before him, claiming and calling upon him to be faithful as he has promised to do. And we trust each and every day, walking in that life of forgiveness that he gives us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us stand and confess the faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, pray again for our sister in Christ and one of our organists, Deb of Leingang. After last Sunday morning, they again discovered some more blood clots that were afflicting her. She has returned home and is recovering at home, so she'll be out of commission a little bit, I think. Last week, I heard her sister Sue told that she was going to take a week off and then go play at St. Mark's this week or next week. Well, the Lord had an idea to maybe slow her down a little bit more. So we ask the Lord's blessing and healing, continued healing upon her. And we also pray for our congregation as we make that we're faithful in our decisions to decide on the cooling systems here in the nave. Let us pray. For faith to offer our petitions and unburden our hearts from the weight of sin and trouble, and that we would live in the light of God's promises, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That all the families of the people of God would live in prayer, and thus come to know the full blessing of God's fatherly care. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our nation to be a repentant and faithful place, where wickedness is curbed and God's gracious presence is welcomed with thanksgiving, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For prayerful hearts that leave all vengeance in the hands of God and trust his justice to preserve the righteous and vanquish the wicked, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our congregation, as we meet today to make decisions, especially regarding the air conditioning system, that you would guide and direct us to be good stewards of the resources you provide for us, as you continue to proclaim the gospel through your congregation of saints here at Emmanuel. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who suffer, including those who have cancer, Paul, Lee, Michael, Keith, Steve, Patty, Jennifer, Karen, Jackie, Megan, and Frank, for those who are ill or recovering from illness, including Richard, Ronald, Joe, Karen, Jane, Karen, Theo, Don, George, Frank, and Deb, for those who are homebound or who are unable to attend, including Lois, Adeline, Richard, and Nancy, and for those for whom prayer has been requested, including Forrest, Victoria, Jason, Joanne, CJ, and Dominic, that God, who heard and considered the prayers of Abraham, would spare them and draw them ever closer to himself. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing and look to you as the giver of all good gifts. Make us eager to come to you in prayer and thanksgiving as your Son has taught us. By your Holy Spirit, bring us to behold in Christ the fulfillment of those things for which we pray. Your holy name, your coming kingdom, daily bread, forgiveness, shelter in temptation, and deliverance from every evil. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.